Good morning, everybody. You all know, I'm sure, that Pastor Miller and Keithton are both at General Assembly at this time, and that's why we have a guest preacher today. Chris Nelson, member of St. John's Reformed Church and Licentiate, is going to be preaching this morning. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. At this moment, I'll invite Chris Nelson up, and he will be leading almost all the elements of the worship and preaching.
Greetings to my brothers and sisters in Christ and at Faith OPC. It's good to be with you. Now, let us turn to the Word of God, the call to worship, Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. So is the reading of the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We praise you, Lord, for this great day, bringing us to you as one body. And we just pray that you would give us clean hearts and minds as we approach worshiping you and help bind us together as one family of God, glorifying you, singing your praises, rejoicing in all your graces, and in all the faith you've given us. And we pray these things, Lord, according to your Holy Spirit. Now let us pray those words which Christ taught his followers to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on heaven as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now hear the word of the Lord. Micah chapter 6. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So is the reading of the Word of God. And then let us turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, David's great confession to the Lord. Psalm 51.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me.
Against you,
so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge.
Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place.
Cleanse me with hyssop, I will be clean.
Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow.
Let me hear your joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you.
Save me from blood guilt. The God who saves me and my tongue will sing of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise.
You do not delight in sacrifice, for I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise.
In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem.
Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Now we turn to the Lord in reading his word, Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through chapter 12, verse 8. And this is after Paul has given so much great theology, and he breaks into basically song, a doxology, and then he speaks of what our duties are, having been given such a great salvation. Romans 11, verse 33, the Word of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. And he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So is the reading of the Word of God. Let us now turn to the Lord in prayer as we seek to bless one another. We thank you, Lord, just for this day, for for forgiving us our sin, Lord. When you saved us, and today when we came before you in holy worship and asked for your forgiveness, and you are faithful to forgive us, and we are so grateful that every day your mercies are new. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Our faithfulness is not so great, but yours never ends, and we are so grateful for how you love us and bless us. And we just would pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us, be with our friends and our family that need your healing touch, Lord. If there's anyone with cancer or any kind of illness or broken bones or even depression, any kind of illness, Lord, which hinders them, Lord. We know you are a God who delights in healing. You are the great physician, and we pray for your healing touch upon us and our friends and our family that desperately need it. And we pray that they would turn to you, Lord, after you have shown them such grace and mercy and healing, and bless your name. And that others would see this, and they would turn to you, Lord. For we know even our doctors and nurses and caregivers, they need you. All wisdom comes from you, Lord, our creator, our sustainer, and our healer. And we pray that you would bless the hands of the doctors and nurses and caregivers. Give them wisdom, Lord, and that they, most importantly, would seek after you. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with anyone who's having any kind of issues in the congregation concerning family or friends or paying bills or whatever. Lord, bless them and be with them and help them as you would see fit. Just bless the congregation at Faith OPC. Grow us in faith and love for you and in love for one another, that we would be a church, that faith would be a church that would draw people to you. A bright light in a dark world, as we see this world around us and the wickedness which grows darker and darker and darker every day. But you have given us the light of Christ, of the gospel. And we pray that that would spread, that you would be with our leaders, the president, senators, congressmen, governors, mayors, legislatures all across the nation. And you would cause them to humble themselves and turn to you, Lord, that you would bring an awakening and revival. And our nation would repent of its wickedness and could be called a nation after your own heart. We desperately need you, Lord, as people don't even understand the basic things we used to take for granted, and you told us that you would cause such confusion and that this is in fact your judgment upon a nation, is when we are so confused in so many ways that we don't even know what a man or a woman is in some cases. Please take your judgment away from us and save us. Turn us to you, that we could be a city on a hill drawing people to you. And we pray, Lord, for the persecuted church throughout the world. Keep them from harm. Help us to always be ready to pray for them and to serve them and be with them. And deal with their persecutors however you would, Lord. Oh, it'd be wonderful if they would turn to you, but we know that their destruction is just as well, Lord. That you would be righteous in your judgment of them if that is how you would deem to do it. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be with the rest of our service, that we would make a joyous noise to you, and that our worship would be an acceptable offering, a lovely aroma rising up to you. And we just pray this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us go to the altar, grabbing the horns of the altar, asking the Lord to bless us. Yes, Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2 is beseeching, strongly calling us to a new altar, a new sacrificial service. As I briefly alluded to in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is laying out the case for our justification in Christ, for our sanctification in Christ, our glorification, God's purposes in election and grafting in the Gentiles. And now Paul has explained all that great theology to us, and he is calling us to live our lives for Christ. So, this new blueprint for a new sacrificial system is a bloodless sacrificial system. It is unlike what they had in the Old Testament. But we are called to a spiritual altar. And Paul has laid out the necessity of this sacrifice. He has shown us in chapter 3 of Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He quoted from the Psalms, giving all the ways that we are wicked and desperately need Christ. None are good. In Adam, we're all sinners. This cannot be disputed. And so we then see that Christ's great works call us to sacrifice. He has saved us. He has justified us. And we know that people would still say, and Paul anticipated this, this question, you know, about should we continue in sin that grace may abound in Romans 6, verse 1. And that's just a complete misunderstanding of what we are in Christ, friends and family. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to Christ unto righteousness. That's the kind of a question a worldly person would ask. Oh, yeah, look at that. Now we're saved. Now we can do what we want. Well, in a sense, yes, we're in Christ now. We should want Christ, the gift that keeps on giving. So we're no longer slaves to sin, but to Christ unto righteousness. And so we are giving a spiritual sacrifice, not a bloody one like we saw all throughout the Old Testament. We present ourselves at the altar. Just as the bull or the goat or the sheep presented itself, body and soul, all of it, at the altar, leaving nothing, we come before the Lord daily, maybe more than that for some of us that need it. And we come holy, body and soul, to Christ, seeking His blessing, His forgiveness, and offering ourselves to Him. Christ's great works, His magnificent many mercies, compel this sacrifice. It is out of a thankful heart that we should willingly and obediently answer. And the nature of this sacrifice is, once again, completely different. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was bloody. An animal could only be offered once, right? Couldn't reoffer it again and again. And then Christ, when he fulfilled all the law, all the sacrificial system, offered himself up once for sin. And that's all that we need. All we need for our salvation has been accomplished in Christ. He said, "It is finished." And so we see in certain places, well, the Catholic Mass, where every day they sacrifice Christ for sin. That's an abomination. We can't do that. Christ has died once. And that's all that is necessary. You don't re-sacrifice him like a goat or a bull every day offering new sacrifices. No, he has accomplished it for our salvation, which we, of course, are unable to do. If we offered ourselves at the altar to be sacrificed for sin, that'd be it. We'd be done. No more. But we have Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, who has given himself for us. And so our response is a living, continual presentation of our lives for Christ, done in the power of the Holy Spirit. We present ourselves, our whole self, body and soul, to God daily. Dying to oneself, it is consistent, continuous, and it is commanded. And it is reasonable. Romans 6:13 tells us, present yourself alive from the dead to God as being instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. After all that Christ has done for us, this is our reasonable, spiritual, holy obligation, expressing our thankfulness for such a great Savior. The Heidelberg Catechism expresses it like this: heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing us to take delight in living according to the will of God in all his good works, or in all good works. Answer number 90 in the Heidelberg. And this thankfulness for God's redemption, his saving work, is the way God has worked from the beginning of time with his covenant people. This is how they have responded in thankfulness. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. God even confided in Abraham when he was seeking to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that exchange, and Abraham went back and forth with him. You'll save Sodom if there's 50. And God said, oh yeah, if there's 50 good people, we'll save it. 40, 20. He bargained with God down all the way to 10. Figuring that, oh, there's 10. I've got my son and his family, and there's got to be a couple stragglers in that town that aren't so bad. So Abraham was a friend of God. God confided in him even in that sense. And even when Abraham went to go sacrifice his son, his one and only son, the one and only is repeated several times in that account, makes you think. And why did Abraham do it? Hebrews tells us because he knew God would raise Isaac from the dead. And even more, he did this out of a thankfulness, a heartfelt obedience. He knew that God would save his son. And then, of course, we see that God did, a lamb in the thicket, a lamb with a crown of thorns on his head. And that God said to him, because you have not kept your one and only son for me, I provide you a sacrifice. And even Israel at Mount Sinai. God gave the law at Sinai for his people. And why did he do that? Well, what is the preamble of Exodus 20? Say, I am the Lord your God, who led you out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. So on and so forth. I have redeemed you. I have taken you out of Egypt. You are my people. And this is what that looks like. This is what a thankful heart expresses itself. You will have no other God before me. You will not create any graven images. You will not take my name in vain. You'll keep the Sabbath holy. This is the way God has worked from the beginning. His people are saved through his prerogative, and they respond in thankfulness, faith, and grace. So we move on to verse 2 of chapter 12 of Romans. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're waiting for this transformation. And this sacrifice we make, this presenting ourselves at this altar, is even that's a work of Christ ultimately. It is Christ who works in us to do his will, lest we get puffed up and proud. I know pride's a big thing lately for some reason. Not sure we should be boasting in pride. In fact, I am sure we should not be boasting in pride. And Paul tells us that we must resist the worldly lust. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're not to be squeezed into the mold of the world, is the language he's giving us. We can't allow the world to cause us to forget who Christ is and the holy obligations that we have. We must not love the world or the things in the world, or the love of the Father is not in us. And we can remember Joseph and Moses in the Old Testament. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Potiphar's wife sought to seduce him. He rejected her advances, and for that good deed, he was thrown in prison. And yet God used him to bring about the salvation of Israel ultimately. Moses gave up the passing pleasures of sin in Pharaoh's palace, as Hebrews tells us, to be with God's people, to suffer reproach for Christ. He considered that a greater reward. So we have these examples of people in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, all these saints of God, the world tried to crush and mold. But the word of the Lord says, be holy, for I am holy. And the world today tries to squeeze us. One day, the world says, you know, we have this sin here. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. And many go along with it. The next day, and by day, I might mean a few years, you know, the world comes along and says, yeah, okay, let's tolerate this now. And then there'll be TV shows and movies extolling it, and there'll be songs written and things, and toleration of this sin will just grow, and then the world will say, hey, bake me a cake for the ceremony. You're a baker. Or maybe you're a DJ. You sing songs for this ceremony, whatever it might be. this ceremony, raising up this sin, and you say no. And you get sued. And then finally, they say, we notice you've been preaching and you've been saying things that are intolerant of this great lifestyle or whatever we have going. You can't do that. But we have seen in history through Daniel and the other examples given, they were the rock. Christ had made them the clay that the world was smashed upon. Just as Christ is our rock. And destroy the mold. Don't let them mold us into their image. We are to be holy, for they are holy. Deuteronomy 6 gives us this great example of what it's like to love the Lord and whatever we do, sitting, walking, talking, working, we are to be speaking the Word of God to our children, grandchildren, and growing them up in the faith. Christ wins. We know this. And we know that our transformation is an inner work of Christ. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, as Paul tells us later on in Romans 12. We must pray the Spirit that He renews our minds. We are to have that mind which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be considered equal to God, but became of no reputation. Paul speaks of the mind so often in his last epistles. It is where everything starts. We can't let it stay there. I mean, we've got to work it out. We have to work out our salvation. We have to get our feet moving, our arms moving, our hands moving. But it all starts with our mind. Having the mind of Christ, being saturated in His Word, in the fellowship of the saints. And so we're transformed in our whole soul as we walk in the Spirit. Paul tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh in Galatians 5. We're molded by Scripture. And we walk in the works that God has prepared for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are far from defenseless concerning the guiles of this world and its system. If all we have is Christ, the world's outnumbered. And so what's the result of this transformation? We do good, and we please God. Just consider the Old Testament sacrifices and that whole horrible system of the blood everywhere and the stinking, decaying bodies and they're perfumed with incense. The altar area is perfumed with incense. I guess that kind of helps a little bit. It's a picture of our prayers rising up to the Lord. And this putrid sacrifice perfumed with this incense, if it's done in faith, we're told that God considered it a pleasant aroma lifting up to Him. Just consider our good works, as imperfect as they are, because we know that while the Holy Spirit works in us and is perfect, we're still in the flesh. And our motives and things like that, I mean, we're never perfect. And our good works, as imperfect as they are, they're perfumed in Christ's righteousness. They are a fragrant aroma rising to God. When He sees even the most feeble of our attempts to walk in the Lord, He is pleased, just as a father, grandfather is with his children. And grandchildren. I mean, just Just think about, you know, when it's some kind of special day and your child brings you breakfast and overcooked eggs, burnt toast, whatever it might be. Do you just throw the plate down and say, come back when you know how to cook? Or do you take that plate and eat that food like it was a five-star gourmet meal at a Michelin restaurant? You are pleased that they have done that. As feeble as it was, it is a wonderful offering. So much more is God our Father pleased with us. I mean, think about what Jesus said. You being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. If your children ask for food, do you give them a rock or a snake? No. Just imagine how much more your good God knows how to give you good gifts. It's a paraphrase. And so we know, as we do these things, we grow in the knowledge of His will for us. If everyone wants to know the will of God, it's just love Him. Pray continually. That's one thing. It says if we pray continually, in 1 Thessalonians 5, that is the will of God. And you see scattered throughout Scripture, this here is the will of God. It's basically just loving the Lord and doing His will and the power of His Holy Spirit and praising Him. It's not a big secret. And as we grow in His will for us, we'll continue in Him. We continue in the knowledge of His will. As we work for Him, we discover that our faithfulness is rewarded. Not in a meritorious way, not in a way that gets us more mansions in heaven or more blessings, bigger cars on earth, but because of the riches of God's grace. I mean, the benefit of God bestowing more grace upon you and growing you more and more in the faith and growing you in the love for Him and all those blessings. That is a bounty of riches that the world cannot give us. But as we grow in our faithfulness and our love for the Lord, doing His will, being a blessing to one another, God will look down upon His children and smile. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, that You are such a wonderful God, that You bless Your children and You love Your children and You protect us as we need. We pray, Lord, that yes, You would help us to continue to come to Your altar day and night, giving ourselves to You, because of what Christ has done for us. Just please grow us in the faith. Give us wisdom in all things, Lord, that we would glorify You and be a blessing to one another. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.